And thank you so much, choir. Thank you. And thank you for our children's choir. I'm reading from Exodus 20:12. The fifth commandment tells us, honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. On Mother's Day, two brothers, age 4 years old and 6 years old, presented their mother with a houseplant. They had used their own money that they had saved up, and the mother was thrilled to death. But the older son, with a bit of sadness in his voice, said, Mama, there was a bouquet of flowers we wanted to give you at the flower shop. It was real pretty, but it was real expensive. It had a ribbon on it that said, rest in peace. And we thought it would just be perfect for you, because you were always asking for a little peace so that you can rest. Well, mothers, I hope on this special day you will indeed get a little rest and peace. It's not easy being a mom, especially in today's society. Most moms work outside the home. They work at their jobs, their careers. They have the children to care for, meals to prepare, a house to clean. A cartoon showed a psychologist talking to his patient, and he said, let's see, you spend 50% of your energy on your job, 50% on your husband, and 50% on your children. I think I see the problem. Some of you can identify with that. In any event, we come today to affirm motherhood and to pay tribute to mothers everywhere for all that they are and all that they do. And I want to begin this morning by saying that mothers are mothers. Now, I know that sounds redundant, but what I mean is that your mother will always be your mother. You can be 50 or 60 or more, and you will still be introduced by your mother as, this is my baby. Jesus knew that Mary would always be his mother in Scripture. It seems that Mary is always showing up wherever Jesus is. You recall that when he was in the temple teaching the elders, Mary came and scolded him and said, son, we didn't know where you were. And Jesus said, didn't you know I must be about my father's business? I don't think Mary liked that response. And I suspect that Jesus probably went to his room without television that night. At the wedding of Cana, there was Mary saying, son, do something. We're out of wine. When he was teaching the multitudes, Mary shows up and someone says to Jesus, your mother's here and she wants to see you. Now, I don't know what Mary wanted. Maybe she said, son, I haven't heard from you. You don't write. You don't call. I just wanted to be sure you were okay. In any event, Mary would always be his mother. That's true for you. That's true for me. That's true for Chief of Police Phil Keith. When his pager went off in a council meeting in Knoxville, Tennessee, Police Chief Phil Keith was startled to see that the call was from his mother, so he was concerned. He rushed to the press table and phoned her back. Phil Keith, are you chewing gum? Asked his mother, who had been watching the council meeting on cable TV. Yes, ma'am, answered the chief. Well, it looks awful, she said. Spit it out. And Keith dutifully removed the gum from his mouth, and he went back to the meeting, just because everyone else regards us as responsible adults doesn't mean that we fool our mothers one bit. They know better, and sometimes they tell us. Speaking of, and you've heard this story, but I love it. I've got to tell it. Young police officer was taking the exam for sergeant, and his captain asked him, suppose you had to go and arrest your mother for a crime, what would you do? He said, I'd call for backup. Yes, we would. Mothers are mothers. Mothers are human. They're not perfect. I can hear you. You know, some of you think, man, I could write a book on the things that are not perfect about my mother. I could too when I was a whole lot younger. But with the passing of years and hopefully some maturity plus the loss of my mother, you know, I just can't seem to remember a single one. But it's true, mothers are not perfect, so give them some slack. They don't always say the right thing or do the right thing, and sometimes they can embarrass you right in front of your friends or the people you're trying to impress. But understand, when your mother became your mother, she did not receive a manual on how to be a perfect parent. It's all on-the-job training. Most mothers I know want the best for their children. They hope the best and pray the best. Mothers insist on believing in us, even when no one else believes in us. You remember that scene on the cross. Jesus is hanging there, dying for the sins of the world. Most of his disciples have abandoned him, but there was Mary standing by the cross, standing by her son, when it seemed that the whole world had turned against him. Mothers are like that. When everyone else has given up on you, your mother will be there for you, trusting, believing, praying. Mothers may not be perfect, but where would we be without them? And let me say that mothers are heroes. Yes, I know some mothers don't deserve that designation. Some mothers are so busy finding themselves, living their lives for themselves, they simply do not have time to be mothers. But I believe that most mothers are heroes. Some are single mothers. And what a difficult job that they have, being provider and mother and father. I applaud them for all that they do. And I pray that someday their children will realize that and rise up and call them blessed. Some became mothers when they adopted children, and some became mothers when they married someone with children. That's not an easy task. Your efforts may not always be appreciated, but remember this. The real mother is not necessarily the one who gives the child life. The real mother is the one who loves. And if you have poured your heart and life into the life of a child, you're the real mother, whether you birth that child or not. But most mothers are heroes. Here's a definition of a hero. A hero is someone who puts your needs before her own, even before you were born. In his book, The Power of Myth, Joseph Campbell discusses the heroism of motherhood. He defines it this way: the giving over of oneself to the life of another. Now, you and I will probably never know all of the sacrifices made by our mothers, the things they did without, the sleepless nights, the prayers, the tears, because our needs, our welfare, came first. In his book, The Grip of Grace, Brian Campbell writes about a hero mother. On Sunday, August 16th, 1987, Northwest Flight 225 crashed just after takeoff from the Detroit airport. 155 people were killed. One survived, a four-year-old girl from Tempe, Arizona, named Cecilia. News accounts say that when the rescuers found Cecilia, they did not believe that she was on the plane. The investigators first assumed that Cecilia had been a passenger in a car on the highway onto which the airliner had crashed. But when they checked the passenger register, there was Cecilia's name. Cecilia survived because as the plane was falling, Cecilia's mother, Paula, unbuckled her own seatbelt, got down on her knees in front of her daughter, wrapped her arms and body around Cecilia, and would not let her go. When I first read that story, I thought, that's amazing. That's unbelievable. But then I thought, no, that's a mother. That's a mother. Having said that, I want to say that mothers are worthy. Worthy of what? Worthy of honor. The fifth commandment tells us this. This commandment is different from all of the others. The other nine tell us what we must not do. This one tells us what we must do. In the Jewish world and also in the Greco-Roman world, honoring one's parents was second only to honoring one's God. And I would add that honoring your parents is one of the ways that we honor God. How do we honor our parents, our mothers? By our respect. Respect is expressed in our attitude and actions, how we speak to our mothers, how we treat them. And to that I would add that respect also has to do with who you are, what you do, how you live outside the presence of your mother. At the minimum, respect will manifest itself in love and courtesy and kindness and consideration in and outside the home. How do we honor our mothers? I think by our appreciation. Now, Mother's Day cards have been a part of Mother's Day since the early 1920s. There's nothing wrong in giving a card, sending a card. But I would also suggest to you that more than a card or flowers or other gifts, the best expression of appreciation you can give to your mother is you. Is you. Your time. Your presence. More than anything else, your physical presence says, I love you, I appreciate you, I haven't forgotten all that you've done and all that you are. In the city of Philadelphia, there lived a certain man and his mother, a son. The father had died quite early, and the mother and son became very close. The mother knew, however, that there would come a day when that boy would become a man, would most likely marry and have children of his own. And that day came, and she was excited for him when it did. And since money was tight and housing was hard to come by, the mother offered half of the duplex that they lived in to her son and his new bride. She knew that the son's loyalty would transfer to his bride and to his children. But all that she asked him was that perhaps once a week he would come by and talk with her and share with her about his work, his hopes, his hurts. And the son said, Mom, you know how much I love you. You don't have to worry. I will be there. And he kept that promise for the first year. Well, soon he got a good job, another job, a promotion. Then one child came and another and then another. And soon he found himself waving to his mother as he would go and come from work. Soon he joined a country club. And golf became his passion after his work. On his mother's 65th birthday, he went to a fashionable dress shop, bought her a very expensive dress. He dropped it off and said, Mom, happy birthday. And she opened the package and she looked at the dress and said, well, thank you, son. I appreciate that. He said, Mother, you don't like it. She said, oh, yeah, yes, I do. It's my color. Thank you. Mother, I have the sales slip. They told me I could take it back. No, no, it's a very nice dress. He said, Mother, you don't fool me. We've been together too long. What's wrong? And the mother turned and she opened her closet and she said, Son, I have enough dresses to last me the rest of my life. I guess all I want to say is I really don't want a dress. I want you. I want you. Your presence. We can honor our mothers by our presence. And we can honor our mothers by our faith. That is, by embracing the faith and by being true to the faith they passed on to us, that they taught us and lived out before us. What greater tribute could we give them than to follow the Christ they followed? And to say, by doing so, I saw something of Christ in you, in your words, your deeds, your manner of living. And I want that for my life as well. Or, as one man said when he gave his heart to Christ, I want that which made my mother what she was. I believe that was true for the life of Timothy, for Paul writes to him and says, I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. What a legacy that mother and grandmother passed on to young Timothy, a living faith that drew him to Christ and shaped his life. Clarence McCartney tells once in a Virginia church, I saw an aged minister hold aloft a little black book and it told the congregation that no money, all the money in all the world could not purchase that book. It was not a book, he said, that itself was so valuable. For it was an inexpensive volume, and its contents could be found in thousands of similar books throughout the world. What made it priceless to him was the fact that it was the Bible that his mother, now in heaven, put in his suitcase when he left home to go to college. Silver and gold, she had none, said McCartney. But she had left him the memory of her faith and of her prayers. And it was powerful in his life. May it be so in your life. Mothers, sons, daughters, may it be so in your life. Our hymn of invitation is 334. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. I invite you to come this morning, to come and receive Christ as your Savior, to come and unite with this church by letter, by statement, by baptism, perhaps to come and recommit your life to Him. As we stand, you come.